It's track two of the April 2015 newsreel. This is in memory of Tom D'Agostino.
Tom D'Agostino here, once again in the Waxworks, with another 78 RPM recording. This is a relatively modern one. I would say it was recorded between 1945 and 1950, when the lady who was going to sing for us, Pearl Bailey, was extremely popular. She was a comedian and vocalist. And she never sang songs that you've ever heard before. This one is called 15 Years and I'm Still Doing Time.
And I'm still serving time with that good man of mine. I've been married 15 years, I've shed 15 million tears, 15 years, and I'm still serving time. 15 years, and I ain't got a dime, not a dime in those long 15 years. Each night I drink 15 beers to forget those 15 years, 15 years with that good man of mine. Oh, there ain't no bars on the window, and there ain't no locks on the door, and there ain't no guards in the courtyard, but I'm a prisoner forevermore. 15 years and I'm still serving time with that good man of mine. When I let those church bells chime, tell me, was that a crime? 15 years and I'm still serving time. All my cooking goes to waste, bread and water's all I taste. 15 years and I'm still serving time. Can't save up no dough for bail. 15 years and I'm still serving time. Oh, there ain't no chains on my ankles, and there ain't no ropes on my hands, and there ain't nothing nowhere, but I'm a prisoner to that man. That neck was mine. 15 years and I'm still serving time. Oh, there ain't no bars on the window, and there ain't no locks on the door, and there ain't no guards in the courtyard, but I'm a prisoner forevermore. 15 years and I'm still serving time with that good man of mine. Got 6 kids from 1 to 9, some are his and some are mine. 15 years and I'm still serving time, and I love every moment of it. It was beautiful. I just love it.
Last month's free cookbook winners were Linda Wiggins, Jean Corcoran, and Caroline Trevethan. This month's available cookbooks are More Favorite Crockpot Recipes, from Helping Hands for the Blind, 2 volumes. No Measure Cookbook from the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind, 1 volume. Thank Heaven for Grandmas, a collection of treasured family recipes, by Elizabeth Day and Grandma Agnes May, from KDKA Radio, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 2 volumes. For those of you who don't know about the free cookbooks, let me explain. About 1.5 years ago, a newsreeler was cleaning her closets and gave us mini Braille cookbooks. We started offering them free to you each month. All you have to do is call in and say that you're interested. It is not first come, first serve. I will put the interested names in the hopper and pull a winner. What has been so nice is that some of you have been sending me your cookbooks that you no longer want for me to use each month. Thank you so much for keeping the cookbook raffle alive.
This is Robert Wagner. Well, for this Kitchen Corner article, I want to go in a completely different direction. But before I do so, a couple of comments from the last article. Regarding macaroni and cheese, I was going to give you the recipe from the Cooking Without Looking book. It's a great recipe, but it does have egg in it, so it's really not the recipe that people were looking for. Maybe sometime I will do a series on macaroni and cheese. However, there's hundreds of different ways to do it. Today I want to talk about iced tea. And let me start by saying that I always like to tell people that there's nothing I'm addicted to. There's nothing that if I really had to do without it, that I couldn't do without it. Having said that, though, there are several things that would really pain me to have to give up. One of those would be sauerkraut. And for those of you who have kept up with my articles, you know this to be true. But another one that's even more precious to me is iced tea. I love iced tea. I learned how to make iced tea from my mom. I follow her. She didn't have anything written down. I just love the way she does it, and that's the way I do it. Now, my iced tea is strong and fairly sweet. However, it's not as sweet as some of the sweet teas you get at restaurants today. Last week, somebody gave me a cup of sweet tea from McDonald's, and oh my God, was that ever sweet. It was more sugar than tea. So mine isn't that sweet, but it's fairly sweet and it's strong. I do not use tea bags. I buy bulk tea by the pound. I get my tea from San Francisco Herb Company. You can still buy loose tea several places. I use an orange Pekoe. My favorite was Lipton's and still is. You can sometimes find Lipton's in the half-pound packages at Walmart. We have a grocery store called Fiesta where I can get something similar in the 2-pound boxes or almost 2-pound boxes. But I do use a loose tea rather than the tea bags. However, you can use tea bags. You can either cut the bags and use the tea loosely or just figure out how many tea bags you need to make my recipe. So here we go. The ingredients are 1/2 cup of tea leaves, 1 3/4 cups sugar, water, 1 gallon pitcher. I bought an inexpensive coffee maker, bought a Black & Decker. It's a 12 cup coffee brewer, coffee maker. Doesn't have a clock or anything like that on it. Take the gallon pitcher, put the 1 1/4 cups of sugar in the bottom of the pitcher. Most of the coffee makers you have now come with their own filter, so you can either use its filter, or you can use the disposable filters. Either way, place a 1/2 cup of tea leaves inside of the filter. Fill the reservoir of the coffee maker with about 10 cups of water and let it brew. When the water has completely run through from the top of the machine, remove the little glass coiffure or the pitcher from the coffee maker. Pour the hot tea over the sugar. Stir the tea until the sugar is dissolved. Return the pitcher back to the bottom of the coffee maker or use it, let it cool off a little bit so you don't break it if it's glass. Or anyway, by some means, refill the reservoir again with about 8 to 9 cups of water and let it brew again. Again, pour the tea into the pitcher. And then if you still have some room, if you don't have a gallon of liquid, fill the pitcher until it's full, reach the gallon mark with water, and then stir once again. And there you have it. The tea will be quite hot when it's done in the pitcher, so allow it to stand a little while before you refrigerate it to keep it from spoiling. Now, this makes a strong, fairly sweet tea. I love it. If you don't want it that strong, you can do a number of things. You can use less than 1/2 cup of tea leaves, of course, or just run it one time instead of twice. And if you don't want as much sugar, of course, you can cut back on that. But if you use the full strength, watch how you cut back on the sugar, because then you'll get just a very strong tea taste and not much sweet. But this is how I love my tea. I don't know how many gallons I have consumed of it. Many, many. So you'll either love it or hate it, But there you have Robert's iced tea. This is Robert Wegener, Wegener, 5326 Boyce Springs Drive, Houston, Texas, 77066, phone 281-397-0773.
This is Jean Corcoran from Montpelier, Ohio. And now for some recipes. Crock pot steamed mincemeat pudding. 1 3/4 cups of sifted flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon cinnamon, 1/2 cup of soft butter, 1 cup of sugar, 2 eggs, 2/3 cup of evaporated milk, 1 teaspoon of rum extract, and that is optional, 1 1/2 cups of prepared minced meat, orange honey hard sauce, and that's to follow. Cream together the butter and sugar until light. Add the eggs, beating thoroughly after each. Sift together the dry ingredients and add alternately with the milk, beating until smooth. Stir in the mincemeat. Pour into a greased 1 1/2 quart mold or a 2-pound coffee can. Put the can or mold into your crock pot. Cover with 4 to 6 paper towels. Cover with the crock pot lid and bake on high for 3 1/2 to 4 1/2 hours, and no fair peeking until the last hour. Then for the orange honey hard sauce, 1/2 cup of soft butter or margarine, 3 tablespoons of honey, 1 teaspoon of grated orange rind, 1 1/2 cups of powdered sugar. Beat together until light. Serve over the pudding. Crockpot golden lemon pound cake. 1 2-layer yellow cake mix. 1 box lemon jello. 4 eggs. 1/2 cup of salad oil. 1 cup of water. Beat all ingredients in a large bowl for 2 minutes. Pour into a greased and floured 1-pound coffee can. Place the can in the crock pot. Cover top of can with 4 to 6 paper towels. Cover with the crock pot lid. Cook on high 3 1/2 to 4 hours. Do not peek until the last hour. Crockpot orange date nut bread. 1 cup of snipped dates. 4 teaspoons of finely shredded orange peel. 2/3 cup of boiling water. 1/3 cup of orange juice. 3/4 cup sugar. 2 tablespoons of shortening. 1 egg, slightly beaten. 1 teaspoon vanilla. 2 cups of flour. 1 teaspoon baking powder. 1/2 teaspoon baking soda. 1/4 teaspoon salt. 1/2 cup of chopped nuts, pecans, walnuts, etc. Grease and flour the bottom and sides of bread and cake bake pan. In a large bowl, combine the dates and the orange peel. Stir in the boiling water and orange juice. Add the sugar, shortening, egg, and vanilla, stirring just until mixed. In a medium bowl, combine flour, baking powder, baking soda, and salt. Add the flour mixture to the date mixture. Pour into prepared pan. Cover with the pan lid and place in the crock pot. Bake on high 3 1/2 to 4 hours. Check the bread after 3 1/2 hours for doneness. Bread is done when starts to pull away from sides of the pan. Crock pot, peanut butter, and hot fudge pudding cake. 1/2 cup of flour, 1/4 cup of sugar, 3/4 teaspoon baking powder, 1/3 cup milk, 1 tablespoon of vegetable oil, 1/2 teaspoon vanilla, 1/4 cup of creamy peanut butter, 1/2 cup of sugar, 3 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa powder, 1 cup of boiling water. In a large bowl, combine flour, baking powder, and 1/4 cup sugar. Add milk, oil, and vanilla, and stir until smooth. Mix in the peanut butter and pour into the crock pot. In the same bowl, stir together 1/2 cup of sugar and the cocoa powder. Gradually stir in the boiling water. Pour this mixture over the batter in the crock pot. Do not stir. Cover and cook on high for 2 to 3 hours or until a toothpick inserted in the center comes out clean. Serve warm with vanilla ice cream, hot fudge sauce, and top with nuts. Crock pot, quick triple chocolate surprise. 1 18-ounce chocolate cake mix, 8 ounces of sour cream, 1 small instant chocolate pudding mix, 1 cup of chocolate chips, 3/4 cup of oil, 4 eggs, 1 cup of water. Spray the crock pot with non-stick cooking spray or lightly grease. In a large bowl, mix the cake mix, sour cream, pudding mix, chocolate chips, oil, eggs, and water, and mix well. Pour into the crock pot. Cover and cook on low for 6 to 8 hours or 3 to 4 hours on high. Serve hot or warm with ice cream or Cool Whip. Crockpot strawberry cheesecake. For the crust, 1 1/4 cups of graham cracker crumbs, 1/4 cup of butter or margarine melted. For the cheesecake, 2 8-ounce packages plus 1 3-ounce package of cream cheese softened, 1/2 cup of sugar, 2 to 3 tablespoons of flour, 1/2 cup of strawberry preserves, 1 pint of fresh strawberries. Preheat oven to 350. Grease and flour the bottom of bread and cake bake pan. In a small bowl, combine graham cracker crumbs and the melted butter. Press into the baking pan. Do not cover with the lid. Bake at 350 for 4 to 5 minutes. Remove from the oven and set aside. With a mixer, cream the softened cream cheese until smooth. Mix in the sugar and flour. Add eggs, one at a time, and beat until fluffy. Fold in the strawberry preserves and pour over the baked crust in the pan. Put the lid on the pan. Place the pan in the crock pot. Cover and cook on high for 2 to 3 hours. Remove when the cheesecake is set. Remove the pan from the crock pot and allow to cool. Cover and refrigerate for 8 hours. Remove and unmold onto a serving plate. Invert the cheesecake onto a platter and top the cheesecake with slices of fresh strawberries. Happy newsreeling, everyone.
Hi, newsreelers. It's Kate. Hard to believe that I've had no culinary adventures this past month, but I'll get back in the saddle for April. I did receive a couple of recipes that I'm going to make this month, and why don't you try them too, and we'll all report the outcome in May. First recipe, chocolate oatmeal, is from Al Daniels, who assures me it tastes just like chocolate pudding. How can you go wrong with that? Here's the recipe. Ingredients: 3 heaping tablespoons quick oatmeal, 1 heaping tablespoon baker's cocoa, 3 teaspoons sugar, 3 shakes of salt, 6 ounces water, splash of milk. Mix dry ingredients together. If you cook in a saucepan on the stove, put dry ingredients in pan, add water. Stir thoroughly, heat on medium, and keep stirring till it thickens to your satisfaction. If you heat in a microwave, mix dry and wet together in a deep bowl. Heat on medium for 2 minutes, stir, and if it is not thick enough, keep heating and stirring for 1.5-minute intervals, and stir after each 0.5 minute until it is thick enough for you. Do not heat and microwave all at one time. Add splash of milk after heating. Makes 2 child portions or 1 adult portion. Next recipe is from Linda Bennett. Daffodil sponge cake. Doesn't that sound perfect for spring? Here's the recipe. 1 cup egg whites. 1 teaspoon cream of tartar. 1/2 teaspoon salt. 1 teaspoon vanilla extract. 1 cup sugar. 1 cup sifted cake flour. 4 egg yolks. Grated rind of 1/2 orange. Beat egg whites until frothy. Add cream of tartar, salt, and vanilla. Beat until whites begin to hold their shape. Gradually add sugar and beat until very stiff and glossy. Fold in flour gradually. Beat egg yolks until thick and lemon-colored. Divide batter and fold egg yolks and rind into 1/2. Put by tablespoon into ungreased 9 or 10-inch tube pan, alternating yellow and white mixtures. Preheat oven to 300 degrees Fahrenheit. Place cake in oven and bake for about 1 hour. Invert on rack to cool. Remove from pan. Frost with butter frosting. Linda also sent in a poem from Ideals magazine called The Kitchen by Helen C. Smith. There is a place in every home where each love member likes to roam, where savory odors, spicy, sweet, combine with cheerful kitchen heat. In all hearts with home ties blessed are memories of the place loved best, where oft our thoughts in fancy rove to gather again at the kitchen stove.
Hi, everyone. This is Jan Blatz, and I have a couple things that I wanted to talk about this time. Gene Corcoran mentioned the laundry detergent pods that are out there, and I have used those, and I wanted to tell you about one of my experiences with them, which was a good one, really. One morning when I wanted to heat up my breakfast coffee, I put it in the microwave and probably left it there for a few too many seconds. At any rate, when I took out the coffee and put it on the counter and started to add creamer to it, the liquid in the cup literally exploded all over the counter and down the front of the robe I was wearing. A new robe, I might add, and bright yellow. And of course, you know what a coffee stain is. I thought it would never come out, but I thought at least I would try. So I started my washer, and I threw in one of the Tide pods, and then threw in another one for good measure. I don't know if this would have been necessary, but I thought it was at the time. Anyway, I filled the washer and then turned it off and put the robe in and let it soak for about half an hour. Then I started the washer up and let it go through its cycle. Knowing that stains, especially a coffee stain, would be set if you put the garment in the dryer, I just took it out of the washer and hung it on a hanger. Well, a couple days later, when my daughter Julie came over, I thought I'd have her check to see if there was still some remains of that stain, which I was sure there would be. Anyway, I showed her the robe, and I asked her if there was any coffee stains on it. And her first reaction was, "Well, where, Mom?" Which was good. Come to find out, the stain was completely gone. So I'm sold on the Tide Pods. I don't use them all the time, mainly because of the expense, but they're certainly nice to have on the shelf. And again, if you can't see the stain, be sure to have someone check it afterward. But I hope your luck with the pods is as good as mine was. And something else I wanted to tell you about was my adventures finding a new stove. Fortunately, the one that I had prior to this was still working, but the oven wasn't as accurate as it had been, and the self-cleaning thing didn't work anymore, and one of the burners was kind of questionable. So I started looking for a new one, and I'm glad that I didn't wait until I actually had to run out and buy one, because you may end up with something you're just desperate, and then you're not sure how well it's going to work for you. Anyway, I can't remember whether my daughter Julie and I went to Lowe's or Home Depot at first, but all the stoves that I saw in there were the electronic ones with the touch screens. And I know that you can learn to use these things, but I was still hoping that I could find one that had an oven control that you just turned the dial. But I didn't seem to be having any luck with it. A few weeks later, Julie called me, and she said she'd been in another one of these big stores. And there was another older woman in there saying that she was looking for a stove with the dials on it. She didn't want to fool with the new electronics. So Julie kind of listened in, and they said, well, they didn't have them in the store, but they did have them, and they could be ordered to get on the internet and check out what they had. So that's what we did, and sure enough, we did find a GE stove that sounded like what I wanted. But of course, you know, you hate to buy something like that just by order if you haven't actually seen it. So we went to Appliance Mart, and they have everything there, and they have, of course, their scratch and dent items and that kind of thing too. But we just walked in the store, and it's almost as though they knew I was coming, and they had exactly what I wanted. I wanted a flat top stove. And I wanted it in black, and I wanted, of course, the oven controls that you know, can operate, you know, not the touch screen. And anyway, it was right in the front of the store. So I got to check it over. I ordered it, and because there was a dent on the right side of it, I got a little discount on it. And since the stove is going to sit right up against my dishwasher, the dent wasn't going to show anyway. With my other GE stove, I was able to get knobs with Braille on them. I didn't really care about the burner knobs. I mean, you know, you turn it to the left and it's simmer, you turn it to the right and it's high, and everything in between, that really wasn't necessary. With the oven control, I thought it would be rather nice, and like I said, I did have that before. So I called the GE Answer Service, and they gave me one 800 number after another, and I think by the third one, I finally got to the department that I needed. I gave them the information they needed, which was the serial number and model number. And if you're buying an appliance, be sure to have this information before you call to check on anything actually having to do with that item. Come to find out, this particular GE stove does not have the new knobs to go with it that has the Braille on it. Well, like I said, it was no problem except for the oven, and Julie did mark it with puff paint. So the stove works fine. The one thing I thought was kind of interesting, though, the knobs on my stove go across the front, right above the oven. And that's something I definitely wouldn't have had when my kids were little. I just think that would have been an accident, a serious accident waiting to happen. Even though you have to push the knobs in, they're locked in place otherwise, but you have to push the knobs in to turn them. But I imagine a kid, you know, by a certain age would be able to manage that. Anyway, the reason the knobs were across the front instead of up on the back of the stove, they said it was an ADA requirement. So I thought it was kind of interesting that I had the knobs on the front, which was an ADA requirement, but I couldn't get the Braille knobs to put on to work the burners and the oven. But nevertheless, I am really happy with the stove. And should these dots eventually wear off of the oven control, I can always add more. Anyway, this is Jan Blatz, and I'll talk to you again soon.
GE and Kentucky School for the Blind designed Braille Kit for Artistry Electric Range. The simplicity of GE's Artistry series of appliances, an affordable suite of appliances targeted to first-time homebuyers and millennials, lends itself to a unique market segment, the visually impaired. Working with students from the Kentucky School for the Blind, GE engineers and designers in Louisville, Kentucky, developed an accessory kit of Braille overlays for the new Artistry Electric Range controls that helps the visually impaired use its cooktop and oven functions. According to the American Foundation for the Blind article, stoves are the least accessible class of appliances. Many ranges today have smooth push buttons on a back control panel. The ADA compliant Artistry range offers front control knobs that are within reach and a straightforward design that lends itself to a Braille accessory kit for the blind or visually impaired. Both my parents taught special education, says Lee Lago Marcino, a GE product manager who initially championed the project and observed Kentucky School for the Blind students interacting with ranges. As we developed the Artistry Electric Range, we knew its simplicity made it more universally appealing and ideal for Braille application. High, low, and off-heat settings were added to the Braille overlay on GE's Artistry range controls to help the visually impaired use the cooktop functions. Students from the Kentucky School for the Blind helped the GE team determine what was needed: a high, medium, and low heat setting for the cooktop, and a low 350-degree and broil option for the oven. With those readily accessible features to serve as a baseline, the oven can be adjusted to a recipe as needed. A focus group of students at the school came up with ways to make ranges more user-friendly, using puffy paint and brightly contrasting colors to showcase their ideas. GE took those ideas and turned them into custom design braille kit. Students also tested the initial designs for ease of use. Kentucky School for the Blind program coordinator Paula Penrod said, "Many times manufacturers will introduce a new product, then seek comments from consumers with disabilities. Consumers who are blind and visually impaired have unique needs when using appliances. By working with GE during the production stage, our students were able to demonstrate the type of braille modifications that would be most helpful. We appreciate GE for seeking our students' input on the front end of GE's Artistry Range project. As a thank you to the Kentucky School for the Blind and its students for their help, GE donated a full suite of Artistry kitchen appliances to the school's campus on Frankfort Avenue in Louisville, Kentucky. The GE Artistry electric ranges and braille kits are available in black and white and can be purchased nationwide where GE appliances are sold. For help locating a dealer, go to www.geappliances.com and use the dealer locator tool or call the GE Answer Center at 1-800-626-2000. The estimated retail price of the Artistry electric range is $599, and the braille kit is $15.75. Retailers, publish number 4-A034 fits the black Artistry range model ABS45DFBS and publication number 4A024 fits the white Artistry range model ABS45DFWS. In addition to the braille kits for ranges, GE offers a standard braille kit for common buttons on its microwave ovens. The kit, published number 4-A212, can be ordered where GE appliances are sold. Retailers set their own prices.
This comes to us from Tom Kaufman and Ann Salazar. It's called Vices Labels. No more cat food for dinner. Vices Labels helps you to open the right can without knowing braille. A new product is available which offers an affordable way to place labels on food, bathroom products, and other items. Vices Labels uses tactile patterns to distinguish items from each other and are designed especially for those who do not have the time or inclination to learn braille. Kits, which include 90 labels and audio instructions, are available for $34.99 for paper labels or $39.99 for a more rigid plastic. For information or to place an order, visit the Vices Labels website at www.visuslabels.com. There's a telephone number as well. The toll-free number is 800-310-4517. Email MNancy@visuslabels.com.
Well, hello, Newsreel family. This is Debbie Blank in Jacksonville, Illinois. Linda Brown, I had the same experience with Schwann that you had. I was a loyal customer since 2004. Always enjoyed going through the catalog, finding the new additions, and when they were putting in the recipes for a while, I enjoyed looking at those and seeing how they were made. And I noticed too that all of a sudden there were no catalogs arriving anymore, and so I called. And I got a service representative at first who said that our catalogs had been removed from publication, but they didn't say anything about the print catalogs. Then I called back later for something else and found out that it wasn't just ours, that no one was automatically getting a catalog anymore, not even the print ones, that you had to request one from your Schwann's representative when he came to the house to make a delivery, and then you could get one. And the comment was also made that they were just too expensive to produce and that they were available online. Well, that's true, technically, but it's not that accessible. This is Debbie Blank in Jacksonville, Illinois, saying bye-bye, take care, have a great spring. I hope it's finally getting warmer where you are. It's finally getting warmer here.
This is Ginger Horns concerning the pull-top cans. I've never tried this on a soda can, but it does work on the ring-top vegetable cans. There is an item made out of very thick plastic, and my sister says that it looks like an oversized S or a fish hook. And you put this into the ring top and then hold the other end of it and pull the ring top up the way you normally would, except the ring top is actually in this S. So you're not touching it at all. Also, another thing that people might want to know about that have crock pots, there is liners that you can get, which are very thin plastic bags. Come in a box, you put it into your crock pot, you spread it out, the sides of the bag hang over the sides of the crock pot. And when you empty your crock pot, there's no mess to clean up. And I guess if you couldn't find those, I know they have bags for roasting meat or roasting turkey. You might be able to put that inside the crock pot and then spread that over the sides. I'm sure it would be much too big to put the bag into the crock pot and do it the way you would a liner, but the excess plastic would be held down by the sides of the crock pot, so that might work if you can't get liners. That's it for this trip, and I'll catch you whenever. And this is Ginger Harms from New York.
Diane Milchuk speaking. This is called Mechanical Man. It's by Ben Bolt and the Nuts.
I'm a mechanical man. I was built in a factory. My serial number is 08456712. Mechanical, mechanical, mechanical. careful. Oh no!
We've come to the end of the first half of this April 2015 newsreel, but there's much more to come.